Say Christian greetings again tonight. Blessing to be together. Blessing to have a warm place to gather. Dry place. Though the snow is beautiful, it reminded me this morning of the privilege that we as people have, that we can have our sins forgiven and we can be whiter than snow. Is that a treasure for you tonight? Is that a pearl? Brother was talking about. Tonight we want to talk about another treasure that we have, another pearl. We sang the song about the Word of God, and I trust that that is a treasure for us. It is our guide. It is what we live by. Even though we read these stories 1,000 times over, they're still precious. Are you finding it that way? Are they still precious? It is the only book that is alive to where you can read it over and over and over again, and it is still alive. It is still exciting. We have a book at home that I've probably, since I was in my, before my teenage years, I've probably read this book 15 times since I was 10 years old. It's just an interesting book, and I just read it many times. I haven't for a while now, obviously, but I read it because it's interesting. It's not alive, it's just interesting. But the Word of God, this treasure that we have, is still alive. And it just, we can read it and it excites us every time in a real way. Well, this evening I want to talk about another treasure that we have. That goes right along with the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us direction on this pearl, on this treasure that we have. And I want to talk about prayer tonight. I want to talk about prayer, and as we think of prayer, we think of the precious opportunity we have of communicating with God. Now, praying is something that all of us, sometime or another, struggle with. There is a little motto hanging in the little house that we're staying in that says something about pray the hardest when it's the hardest to pray, something like that. And I thought that was so good. We find ourselves situations at time when it is very hard to pray, but those are the times when it's most important, probably, or very important to pray when it is hard. And we'll look at Scripture tonight. There is some precious verses in Romans that give us some inspiration, some direction on that, and some encouragement on that. But to start off with our text this evening, I want to take out of James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16, the latter part of the verse. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that word fervent mean in that verse? That word fervent means to be active, to be mighty in. This thing of praying is not an haphazard thing that we can do. I asked somebody one time a number of years ago if it's okay for me to spend my morning prayer time on my way to work. He says it's okay to have a fast food meal on the way to work sometimes, okay? But that should not be our normal, okay? I personally get very tired if I have to stop at McDonald's for every breakfast on my way to work. I just couldn't stomach that real long. It's okay in a pinch, but if the pinch is big enough, right? But time with God, driving is a beautiful time to spend with God, but should be a lot more than that to us. Should be a lot more than that to us. Something we need to be fervent in, to be active, be mighty in. Turn with me to John chapter 21. John 21, This passage does not talk about prayer, but we want to learn a lesson here in relation to prayer. John 21, we'll read the first six verses. John 21, 1 to 6. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the other two of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. What does that have to do with prayer life? I've entitled the message this evening, Casting on the Other Side. This may not be a typical message of prayer. Maybe it's not one that you've ever heard before. But let's think of revival. Let's think of what we can learn out of scriptures, and maybe we have to cast on the other side. Maybe this message is going to sound kind of radical to you, and you're going to say, well, just step aside. Don't. Sometimes Jesus calls for us to cast on the other side. These disciples had been out fishing and they caught nothing. And Jesus says, if you cast on the right side of the ship, you shall find. And then they did. Sometimes we can spend some time in prayer and we wonder, where's it going? What's the results? Sometimes we need to cast on the other side. Jesus wants us to be fervent in our prayer life. And fervent in prayer life doesn't mean that we just pray louder or pray oftener, but pray from the depths of our heart. And there's different directions. We're going to look at instructions in God's Word that give us, yes, the direction on how to pray and how to, may I say, get results. Let's consider a number of questions here before we go any farther. So if we're looking at James 5, Verse 16, it says, a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we feel that our prayers avail much? Are we getting answers? Is it drawing us closer to God? Are we feeling that peace that we talked about last night? Are they availing much? Why is it that we tend to be slow to suggest or maybe come to special prayer meetings? I don't know what your congregation is like, okay? I'm just gonna preach. Is that okay? I don't know. Maybe you do all these things. You're going to say, you wasted your time. I don't know. But if you're anything like me and the rest of the people I've ever met and Christian people, sometimes we need revival once it comes to our prayer life and encouragement to cast on the other side. Question number three, why wouldn't prayer be our first response? Maybe it is many times, but sometimes it isn't. Too many times it isn't. Why wouldn't it be? So why wouldn't prayer life be a priority to me? How important is prayer life to me? Why not make it a priority? There's so many things to pray about. But it's discouraging when we don't see results. And why don't we receive results? Why wouldn't we make that a priority? Do you ever meet up with people that share the burdens with you? I mean, they just unload. Or maybe it's just some other struggle that they're facing. Or maybe it's a death of a loved one. And outside of the church circle, I don't know how it is here, but I hear that in the South quite a bit, especially back when I was in construction and met a lot of community people. They come out and they share the story about their son or about family member or the way they've been treated or something, and gives opportunity to pray with them. Do we do that? Why do we hesitate to do that? To pray right on the spot with somebody that's hurting or struggling. Not only in the community. What about if we share among each other at church? And sometimes we become brave enough to where we share with a brother or sister a struggle that we're facing. And it's so much easier for us to say, I'll be praying for you. Would it be anything wrong with just saying, can I pray with you now? Would there be anything wrong with that? And just stop and pray with them before you go on. The rest of the brethren would accept that. Sisters would accept that, I believe. The condition is right. The setting is appropriate to pray with people. If you permit me, I'll use a little object lesson this evening of a box. I'm not expecting you to be able to read those little stickers on there. But is it possible that we are in a box tonight? Once it comes to our prayer life, and we have a box has four sides to it, four walls. And it comes to our prayer life. Well, let's think about it. Is our relationship with God what it should be? Is our prayer life with God what it should be? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? It's going to make a difference in our prayer life. It's going to make a difference in our relationship with God. The other question we can consider, have we taken the whole armor of God? Ephesians 6, right, talks about the whole armor of God, and prayer is one of those armors. Prayer is one of those things that we can use to fight against the wiles of the devil. It's the most powerful tool. One of the most powerful tools. The devil trembles and shrinks back when a child of God cries out to God for help. And calls out. The devil can't stand that, because the devil can't stand the presence of God. He can't stand the sight of a saint calling out to the Almighty God. We've taken the whole armor of God. And so, as we think of our box, could it be that we've established a formality in our lives and maybe in our churches? Okay, I might be stepping out on a limb. I'll go ahead. Hopefully it don't break. Could it be that we've established a formality in our lives and our churches that hinder the work of the Lord at times once it comes to our prayer life? So we think of the box, we think of the four walls. The first one says, we've never done it before. So that's a wall that we have. We've never done it before. We've never had these special prayer meetings or putting an arm around a brother and praying with him. We're uncomfortable. We just, as conservative Mennonites, we don't do that. Maybe it's time we do. Okay? Well, the other wall may say, our way seems to work. It seems to work. And so why change anything? Why get more fervent? Why? Well, we may say it's too radical. That is just going too far. Really? What is that what God's word says? Well, another thing that we battle with. One of our walls that we have, I think, is I don't want to identify with whatever other group. That's a lot more radical than we are. So we don't want to identify with them. And so therefore, we have this wall and this box, and we stay pretty much within these four walls. And really, is that what God's word says? Is that what we need to do? Is it okay if we cast on the other side and be revived in our walk with the Lord in our prayer life? Because if we really want to be honest about it, these four walls are actually not what they say to be. Okay? The first one actually says, instead of I've never done it before, it's a lack of faith. That's really what that wall says. It's a lack of faith. That's why we don't do it. Instead of saying our way seems to work, we actually have pride. That's what it says. We're not as radical as other people are. Right? That's just too radical. Really? What that actually is fear of man. That's what that wall says. We're pretty comfortable in our formal, just the way we've always done it type thing. So instead of, we say we don't want to identify with that radical group that gets real, comparing ourselves among ourselves. That's really what that wall says. God wants us to cast on the other side. He wants us to be fervent in spirit. He wants us to be fervently praying and calling out to Him. I'll bring this thing around. Don't get too excited yet. I'm not suggesting we throw any walls out. But if this is the way it is with our lives, if this is the way it is with our church, it's time that we change the walls. And we cast out on the other side and see how God wants us to live in this light, in this treasure that we have, this pearl that we have of communicating with Him. We need to cast on the other side like the disciples. Let's look at some scripture that tells us what kind of walls we actually need to have in this box. It's okay to have a box, but let's be careful with our box. Let's be careful with the walls that we have around our box. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That thought of continuing instant in prayer is to be earnest towards, or to persevere, to be constantly or diligently persistent, to be fervent, to be earnest toward. Are our prayers earnest? Are they coming from a heart that is throbbing after God, one that is hungry and thirsty after God, one that wants to hear from God and communicate with God? I'm not only talking about desperation. I'm talking about a heart-to-heart communication with God. That's what prayer is. It's that beautiful thing that we can have with communication. And it really goes well with what we talked about last night. If there is something between me and the Almighty God, I struggle to talk to Him because our relationship is not what it should be. But you know, if our relationship is at peace with God and we are open to Him, we will want to communicate fervently, earnestly, instantly, diligently with Him. Why? Because our life depends on it. Go to Romans chapter 8. I mentioned before that sometimes we find it a struggle to pray. It's a battle because of the inward battle and a struggle, and our path looks so dark, and we're just not sure how to go on from here. And so we try to pray, and it's a struggle to pray, and there's more tears than words. I think sometime or another, to an extent, we have faced these things. But look at these beautiful verses out of Romans 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Those are some powerful verses, some beautiful, encouraging verses. When I get down on my knees and I can't do anything but cry, and I have this burden on my heart and I don't know how to go on from here, but I want to communicate with God. There's tears are communicating with God because the Holy Spirit is there. And he knows the will of God and he knows the cry of my heart, and he brings the two together. He brings the two together. That is beautiful. So don't worry about it if it's tears more than words. The Spirit maketh intercession because he knows your heart, he knows the will of God, and he brings the two together almost better than your words could. Powerful. The avenue that we have of prayer, it's not neglected, it's not forsaken. It is there, it is powerful. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 gives us more describing words on how our prayer should be. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Here he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. Why do we give up so easy? Continue. Daily. Don't give up. You know, probably various ones of us have prayed for family members or friends for their salvation for a long time. And sometimes it takes a long time. But if we cast the bread upon the waters, we may find it after many days. It may be there. The Spirit of God can work. But it's so easy for us to give up. This watch, it says watch in the same with thanksgiving. That means with spiritual alertness. Spiritual alertness. That's what that word watch means. And I think as we think of our prayer life, just our daily prayer life, each morning, throughout the day, whatever it may be, should be, like I said, our first response. But a very necessary response. Because we need to realize that our life, our strength, our wisdom comes from God. Did we not talk about our total dependency upon God? Is that not what our Christian life consists of? It should. I mean, it gives us that direction to go on. It gives us that courage to go on. And so that prayer is that connection with our God that we are dependent upon. So if you want to make it through the day, the peace that passeth understanding can come in the midst of a day when nothing seems to go right. But if your prayer life goes right, then something did. And that peace could be there, and you say, I don't know how I made it through the day, but I did. But with the power of God and the grace of God, we're dependent upon him. Continue in prayer and with spiritual alertness, with thanksgiving. And I think that word thanksgiving is another important factor. In Philippians, it mentions that be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Why is thanksgiving important in our prayer life? Why always ask for things? We do that a lot. We ask God for things, and that's okay. But does He answer those prayers? Thank Him for it. Thank Him from the bottom of your hearts. Just pour out that thanksgiving. Brother admonished us a number of years ago when he talked about prayer, is that he had the example of Daniel, I think it was. When he knelt for prayer, one of the things that he did in his prayer, he blessed the Lord. And I want to encourage each one of you too, when you kneel for prayer, bless the Lord. And thank Him for what He has done. Thank Him for salvation. Thank Him for whatever it may be, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude for the goodness of God and for salvation and just a lot of other things that God does. We find it so much easier to ask than to thank. But God wants us. The direction here we have twice where it talks about with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Here we have the armor we talked about before. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Again, it talks about that fervent spirit. It's talking about that crying out to God, that seriousness that comes from the depths of our hearts with thanksgiving, but crying out to Him in faith is part of that armor. You know, there's something beautiful when it describes the armor of God here in a few places. It talks about having done all to stand and take on the whole armor of God. And prayer, friends, this evening is one of the armor that we can have. Such a powerful tool. Because the fact of the matter is, let's look at verse 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. And if you try it a few days in a row without a lot of prayer, or just those quick, fast food prayers, you're going to find yourself getting weaker and weaker. Talking to a young man a number of years ago, and struggling with thought life and different things, and I ask him how his prayer life is. Well, doesn't spend a lot of time in prayer. So you're wondering why you're struggling in these areas? Those things can be a battle, even in the midst of a lot of prayer. But there is such power. And because of our connection, because of losing that fervency with God and that connection, and we get so busy is our excuses. A man recently just hung his head when we talked about time with the Lord, and we're busy. Yeah, we're all busy. We're all busy. What is important to us? Is your relationship with God important to you? Is it important to you? How important is it to you? How serious you want to get with God? Let's look at Luke chapter 18. Here is a question that Jesus asked. Here is a question that we need to seriously consider as we think of prayer and the earnest prayer. We're going to read the first 8 verses of Luke 18, 1 to 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what that unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? How easy do we give up? We've asked for this, we've asked for it a few times. Well, there's no answer, so we quit. Or 2 weeks later, oh yeah, that's right, I didn't. Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, prayer is an act of faith. Fervent prayer is an act of faith. Because if you had no faith in the God that you're praying to, why would you bother? You might as well go to work. And a lot of people do. But as God's people, do we find strength in that? Do we find the courage in there? Do we have that faith? So when the Son of Man cometh, is he going to find you faithful? Is he going to find you faithful? Is he going to find faith on the earth? I don't blame Jesus for asking that question. And what he asks is that of us today. When he comes, is he going to find faith in this congregation? In your life? Shall he find faith? As we think about our box, as we think about these walls on the box that sometimes we find ourselves in and we come up with a system and we stay there, I'm not suggesting this evening that we throw out the box. Or that we get rid of the walls and say, we're just going to do whatever we want to do. We need walls. We need a box, maybe. There's too many people that have just thrown everything aside. But no, we need direction. We saw it in God's word, the instruction for righteousness. And one of those is instruction in fervent prayer. But the walls that we need, instead of the lack of faith, we need to be led by the Spirit. That is number one. Those that throw out the box altogether, get rid of all the walls, they throw that out too. Our Christian life, and let's think about casting on the other side when we get a little more radical in our prayer life, especially in public praying and in praying with others. We need to be led by the Spirit. Very important factor. Very important factor. We need to be led by the Spirit, because if we don't, we can do it for show. We can do it for whatever other reason, for people to think well of us, which I guess is in essence for show. But we need to be led by the Spirit even in our prayer life, even in our walk of life as a church. We need that wall of the Spirit. If we get rid of pride, we're going to say we're going to be obedient to God's commandments. Obedience to God's commandments. And God wants us to pray for people. It's all done with being led by the Spirit. Jesus warned against long public prayers and standing there and just for people to see it, for people to observe and think how holy and righteous those people are. He spoke down on that so much, and I'm not suggesting that at all. Being led by the Spirit, but obedient to God's commandments, being concerned about the other person, and being willing to be different is okay. faith. Instead of the fear of man, we need to have that wall of faith as one of the important ingredients, like I said, in prayer life. Faith that there will be a change. Faith that God can answer if He desires to. People have told me, you know, I've prayed about these things for so long, why doesn't God answer? I'm not sure. God will answer in His time, in the way He wants it to be. Okay, it's not always the way I ask it to be, but our prayer needs to be like Jesus was. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. But it's faith in Him. Instead of comparing ourselves among ourselves, we need to have a proper fear of God rather than a fear of man. Because you know, we tend to think about it and get a little nervous when, what are people going to think when I stand here and pray with this brother after service? Or maybe it's my office. Or maybe it's wherever, maybe it's on the job with a customer. It's okay. In a proper, appropriate setting, obviously. But let's have the fear of God. It is not to do with what other people are going to think. It's what God thinks about it. And the opportunity. And the other thing with it, the beautiful opportunity we have of ministering to others, neighbors, customers, whatever it may be, they have an eternal soul. And they need to be pointed to Christ. Let us have the proper fear of God and not the fear of man. Let us be willing this evening to cast that on the other side. To have a fervent prayer life. Let's be the people of God with faith and power that God's looking for on this earth. Is He going to find us faithful when He comes? Now, a few things that I want to remind us all of as we think about changing the walls, possibly. Maybe you don't need to. Maybe just a few of them. Maybe you just need the courage to step up and have a prayer life that God wants you to have. But God gives us also the direction. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40 tells us, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And that is given in the passage where he talks about the church and the gifts of the church and administrations of the church. The very last verse, I believe, says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And I think that just goes well with what I was saying about praying, especially publicly, and with our customers and whoever it may be, neighbors. Let it be appropriate. Let it be proper, decently and in order. But there also is a verse in Psalm 96, verse 9, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Prayer is worship. Yes. It's a time of personal worship. Maybe it's a time of public worship. But it's that great God that we serve and that someday we will stand before. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we think of casting on the other side, as we think about growing in our relationship with God, prayer is important. Prayer is what we're going to need. But may God's word continue to give us direction and His Spirit lead the way as we go and are active and we're fervent. You know the other word for fervent? The other definition is on fire. Is the fire burning? Do we have that feeling within us? Is the fire burning within us? May the Spirit lead us as we go, as we use that precious pearl, that as we go from here, we can be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, because He is coming again when our prayer life is going to be over. Realize that? Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, and prayer life takes faith. But when our faith becomes sight and we are going to be in His presence, faith is going to be over. It's going to be sight at that time. The finisher of our faith. So Hebrews tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Let's fervently serve Him, fervently in our prayer life, and our walk with Him. Thank each one for coming out this evening. Continue to come back. Continue to pray earnestly. God's will could be done in our hearts and our lives and in the congregation. Continue to revive us to a closer walk with Him, because our days are numbered. We're not here for a long time yet. Let's be faithful. Let me stand for benediction.